Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavy welcoming you to our time together. This is the Sunday following Easter. What a glorious day Easter was. And now we try to pick up where Jesus left off. We look to what we are facing as disciples of Christ. Now that he is risen, we have a whole new agenda ahead for each of us. And so this morning we're going to be looking at Jesus' visit with the disciples in the locked room after his resurrection. And of course, there was one who was missing, and that was Thomas, the one who we affectionately know as Doubting Thomas. But before we begin our study of the Word this morning, and we will be having a great song by Alan Vest this morning entitled In His Time, a song that was written by Diane Ball. Before we begin, let us have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you. We thank you for all of the many ways that you bless us. And Lord, now that we are after the Easter Sunday, after we are through that period of time when we have been anticipating Holy Week and the crucifixion and then resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we now are in that season where we learn how to live according to the way that Jesus taught us. And so we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us, Lord, to hear your words, your guidance, your instruction on how to live. So we praise you and we thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This is later in the day on Easter Sunday, later in the day after the disciples have all gathered again back behind closed doors. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He is risen. It's the heartbeat of the message of the Christian Church. These three English words, He is risen, are translated from one Greek word, agairo, which literally means to waken or to rouse from the dead. 2,000 years ago, Scripture claims God became flesh in the person of his son Jesus. And Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a life without sin, took all our sin upon him, and died on a cross so that we could be forgiven. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. So what does agairo, yes, He is risen, what does that mean to us 2,000 years later? If Jesus has not been raised, then we really don't have any hope of living up to God's standards of perfection. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then we're just kidding ourselves. There is no real hope, and what we're doing as a church is useless if Jesus is not risen from the grave. We know from Scripture, from reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." Yes, those words from Peter means that not only were we born physically, but we can also be born spiritually. All of us, our sins can be forgiven. No matter how bad we've been, no matter how bad we've blown it, no matter how much we've surrendered to a lifestyle of sin, through faith in the resurrection of Jesus, we can have a new birth. And second, we can live with hope. We would not live like those who have no hope in anything beyond this world. We have a hope in the eternal life that is to come. So what does agairo mean to us today? It means everything. It's the most important question that we could ever ask. However, there's a difference between simply believing that Jesus was raised from the grave and believing that it applies to our lives today. Well, the Gospel of John begins, you probably remember, with the most powerful and poetic words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is an attempt to convey the great importance of God's good news. The God of the universe moved into our neighborhood. The creator of the world becomes also a companion on the journey of human life. God is not just over and beyond. God is in our midst, one among us, one with us and for us. Yes, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Then the stories and teachings, the parables and healings, the actions and activities of Jesus in the Gospel of John depict how the Word became flesh and lived among us. We see the kindness of Jesus. He cares for all people, especially those who are most needy. We see the surprises of Jesus. He heals a blind man. He heals a person who could not walk. He feeds 5,000 people with a few loaves and a couple of fish. And also in the Gospel of John, we learn important things about Jesus. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the living water. He is the light of the world. He is the peace that passes understanding. He is the way, the truth, the life. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And then as the story unfolds, we learn what happens to this amazing Jesus. The forces that are against him schemed to have him arrested. The leaders of the day, religious and otherwise, hold a trial. He is dragged before Pontius Pilate, who asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." "So you are a king." And Jesus says, "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified, and he was crucified and buried. And as we celebrated on Easter, he rose again from the dead. As we know, on Easter, Jesus appeared to Mary and to others. We celebrate Christ is risen indeed. It's Easter joy, Easter victory. And in the Gospel of John, the story of Easter continues much further than Easter morning. There are so many interesting and pertinent points in the story of Easter evening, and then the week after Easter. So in our time of challenges today, it is particularly helpful to me to know that Jesus seeks us out, finds us, even amidst our fear, even separated and apart from one another. Jesus comes and finds us. Jesus knows where we are. Jesus knows our fears. Jesus knows what worries us and what we are dealing with. And Jesus enters and speaks with love and concern. "Peace be with you." We need those words spoken to our hearts and our lives. "Peace be with you, church people." Can you hear Jesus saying that to you? And then he shows his wounds and breathes on his disciples hiding behind locked doors. "Receive the Holy Spirit." Recall in Genesis, the breath of God was breathed into the first human beings. This breath is what gives life. Remember earlier in this gospel story that Jesus promised that the people will receive the Spirit. The Spirit will help the people remember all the things that Jesus taught them. The Spirit will give them peace when they need it most, not a peace that the world can give. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then something really important. He follows the breath, the giving of the Spirit, with words about forgiveness. He says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven." If we ever think that forgiveness is an aside in the Christian life, if we think that it's not that important, or that it was just a separate benefit of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, we should clearly think again. because he breathes on them and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And he does not say, love, take care of each other. He does not say, do a little good each day. But rather, he then gives them a command. He says to forgive. Now, forgiveness is difficult. Forgiveness is often the last thing that we want to do when someone has harmed us. And yet, Jesus, on Easter evening, comes into the locked room and puts forgiveness as central to all life, especially as Easter people. As Desmond Tutu put it so well, there is no future without forgiveness. But it's difficult. We have to keep working at this. Who might need your forgiveness in these days? Forgiveness, as we know, not only helps relationships, forgiveness frees us from crippling bondage. It frees our hearts. It frees our lives. And we have to work at it. And then the story continues with Thomas. He's often called Doubting Thomas. But I know how much I identify with Thomas. Who does not have doubts? Who does not want to see things in order to verify them? Thomas was not there when Jesus first appeared to the disciples on Easter evening. So who can fault him for wanting the same experience? He wants proof that this is the risen Christ. But notice what happens. Notice how Jesus comes again a week later, and he stands among them, saying once again, peace be with you. It's almost as if he came especially for Thomas, because he had missed him the first time. And Jesus speaks to Thomas. He says, put your fingers here. Do not doubt, but believe. And then Thomas offers perhaps the greatest words spoken by any disciple in any gospel. He says, my Lord and my God. Does this sound like doubting, Thomas? No, he has now had a direct encounter with the risen Christ. So now he is the bold and faithful Thomas. Now think about this. The gospel begins, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The whole gospel of John is about Jesus, the Word made flesh. All who believe have life in abundance. All who encounter him and seek to follow him find life in abundance. All who hear his voice and are drawn to his ways find peace and purpose. All who journey with him through the dark valleys and bright ravines find peace and purpose. And what does Thomas confirm? My Lord and my God. This is the affirmation that the whole gospel hopes for everyone who encounters Jesus. The Word made flesh. And when we see Jesus, we see God, and we are moved to deeper faith, loyal devotion, and service. When we encounter Jesus, like Thomas here, our lives become focused and faithful. In our gut, in our heart, in our head, we grasp the truth. Jesus embodies God. Jesus shows us how to live. We align our lives with the purposes and peace of God. Jesus shows us what to care about. People, relationships, healing, and wholeness. Jesus gives us hope because he lives, and we also shall live. So let's tend to what matters most. Let's work at building community, forgiving and serving, working for justice, striving for reconciliation, moving the world closer to the promised reign of God. My Lord and my God, that's what Thomas says. And this is also what we seek to say, so that our lives have a focus and a framework. Easter people living in the ways of discipleship, especially in a season of fear and crisis. We worship and serve God. We trust our lives to God's care, and we get busy for the kingdom. Gut, heart, head, we know who we are, Easter people, and we seek to know more so that we live a certain way, not for ourselves, but for God and others. Not lost in despair, but lost in devotion to God's ways in the world. Not selfish, but sacrificing and serving with humility, kindness, and commitment to God's ways. And then there is that next message from Jesus. He says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Then the next line that is so instructive. Now Jesus performed many other signs, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Life in His name. Yes, friends, God is in charge. God has the final say. God cares about life, wholeness, justice, mercy, and peace. And that is what Thomas means when he says, "My Lord and my God." God is in charge. This affirmation is the intended confirmation of the Gospel of John. We realize and we align our lives accordingly, finally, with God, my Lord and my God. This is indeed music for the world. It is about justice and peace, creation and compassion for everyone. And it's also very personal. Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus comes and finds the disciples in their locked down and fearful places. God is not finished. That means cancer does not have the last word. Sickness does not have the last word. Depression does not have the last word. Despair, loneliness, hopelessness. No, they do not have the last word. As it says in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may stay for the night, but as the psalmist says, rejoicing comes in the morning." Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. My Lord and my God, this is what Thomas affirms. He lives. All things work together for good. He lives. And because he lives, hate and selfishness can be set back. Because he lives, oppression can be overcome. Creation can be cared for. Because he lives, joy can be restored. Because he lives, bodies can be healed, and life can come out of death. My Lord and my God, this gives us an orientation, a pervasive focus. It gives us purpose. And even from our huddled lives, secluded from one another, even in this uncertain time, we can strive to join our hearts and voices with Thomas. My Lord and my God, We can remember that Christ finds us in our fearful, locked places. And he says to us, believe, live, love, forgive. Yes, friends, God will find us. God is with us. God will never let us go because we are God's people. We have news to share, a love to bear, and a world desperate for God's light, hope, and peace. So may we live in faith, hope, and love, seeking always to worship and serve God. Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Breathe your Spirit upon us to give us faith and focus, and keep shaping us, molding us, using us in the world toward your coming reign in fullness, following Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, Alan Vest has prepared for us a beautiful song, In His Time, a song written by Diane Ball, this morning arranged and performed by Alan Vest. Here is In His Time.
show the way and walk with us each day in our love. As you teach me your way, Lord, please show me every day that you do just what you say in your town. That you do just what you say.
Thank you to Alan for that great song, In His Time. Friends, let us just remember during this season of Easter, yes, we celebrated the glorious Easter celebration last Sunday, and now this Sunday we're looking forward to the future, how to live as disciples of Christ. And let's just remember those words of Jesus when he said, "Peace be with you." And then to Thomas, he said, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." May that be our proclamation this week and always. My Lord and my God. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.